We are at the 8:30, so I'm going to mute all. And as usual, you'll have the ability to unmute yourself. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to do so. Please remute yourself afterwards to keep background noise to a minimum. Later on this evening, Alan will be posting the contents of the chat, the deck in PDF format, and the audio track to the website. And with that, I will turn it over to Alan to lead us through tonight's deck.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So to start off, we have a follow-up from a question that was posed last week. And it was basically about underlining in Microsoft Word. And I think what happened was Serge Eric had created a title, a heading, and then he highlighted one word and changed it to red. And when you do that, the text changes, but also so does the underlining. And he was asking whether anybody knew how to make the underlining black. So I think what he really wants is here's the problem. He's got red text with a red underline. He really wants red text with a complete black underline on the, in the heading. So there are all kinds of weird and wonderful suggestions, like using the draw function of Word to actually draw a black line under things. But it turned out there was actually a really simple way to do it. And what you do is you highlight the word, and then you navigate to Home and Font. And when you do that, you pull up this font dialog box, and you have choices to set the color of the font to red, but change the color of the underline to black. And you can see that's what we get when we do that. So I think that's essentially what Serge wanted to do. It's not terribly intuitive, I don't think, but that's essentially how you do it. Okay, so moving along, we have an item from Stuart, his Loony Bits. And this is a series of Canadian websites that are of particular interest to Canadians. And he was asking whether anybody else had other Canadian sites which were of interest. So if anybody has anything that fits the bill, send us a note to suggestion box and we will include it in a future share. In the meantime, Stuart, if you're on, yes, he's unzipped his microphone. So here's your options for tonight.
Okay, so we're shopping tonight. It's a loony bit. A little loony. Who's a good loony? Some time ago, I came across a website called circulars.ca. And this is a grand collection of pretty much most of the major stores across Canada who have their own websites and publish flyers for usually weekly, but some are biweekly, some are monthly, some not so regularly or infrequently. And it's a handy collection of alphabetically, for the most part, organized stores, except they're grouped by what they're selling. So they're alphabetically by grocery, and then alphabetically by department store, and then alphabetically by something else. So that you can find them just by looking at the home page. But you can sort any which way you want and search by store name if it's not appearing right away. And each store listing in this flyer is actually three links, because, for example, you'll see an icon that says Walmart, but underneath it, there will be a line that says web, stores, and flyers. And if you click on the little word web, it'll take you to the store's website, where you can browse through their website all to your heart's content. The store's link will take you to a location, directly to a location finder for the where you might find the nearest store to you or to somebody you want to direct to such store. And the flyers link is the general link to whatever flyers they've got going. It's darn useful. It's got almost everything in there. And if it doesn't, you can suggest to them a store to include. What more can I say? Shop till you drop. What else have we got here? Oh, yes, Quebec's version of that is called the Publisac.ca. In La Belle Province, we have this thing called the Publisac, which is a plastic bag that a company puts on everybody's door once a week. And it's a little plastic sack with all the paper flyers that are published. So instead of trying to dig through a handful or a mittful of randomly delivered flyers, you get them all in one bag. If you get them. I mean, there are some carriers are more reliable than others, but that's Quebec's way of distributing the paper flyers. Now, they also have a website where you can go in and get access to the information a little earlier, because relying on somebody's teenage kid to deliver a sack of flyers to your door doesn't always work out for the best, but sometimes it does. Anyway, the website will allow you to sort through flyers by type, and what's very interesting is it'll let you sort through flyers by upcoming flyers or current flyers or everything. So you can do comparisons, and or if you don't care about what's already on sale and you're just interested in what's coming up, go look at them that way. They will ask for your area code. And area code, pardon me. What's that thing? Postal. Help me, I'm having a senior's moment. Postal
code.
Postal code. That's it. And you can get more geographically accessible stores flyers, or you can just go hunting for whatever is out there. So that's my bit about shopping. Now for a really loony bit, we have a news site called The Line. The Line is a Substack publication. If no one knows what Substack is, that's a place where people can publish their own newsletter kind of thing. With the demise of magazines and the cutbacks to commercial news outlets and what have you, more and more people are finding themselves publishing news and information on their own, professionally. And The Line is a very interesting group of writers. There's only a few, I think there's only two full-time employees, to be honest with you, but there's a whole whack of people who write occasionally. And they're based in Calgary and Toronto. Go figure, eh? The two business centers of Canada. English Canada. And they offer very interesting, concise, sometimes, news about what's going on from a very Canadian perspective. And they dig right into a lot of the political things going on. It's highly worth looking at. https://theline.substack.com. There's free and paid levels to look at this, and I can't recommend the paid one because I'm too cheap to pay for it. I just read the free stuff. And that's interesting enough for me. And Bob wants these earls in chat.
Chris, we'll get to that.
Anyway, those are my three loony bits for the week. And if anybody else knows what's going on in Canada digitally, I'd appreciate hearing yours, too.
Okay, thanks, George. And send us your additional links one of these days.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Thanks again. Right, so the next item I have is another item that came about from a question that Micheline posted in the members forum. You remember last week I talked about how to change the default font in LibreOffice Writer. And this time it's a question of formatting the text in Thunderbird Messages. Now, this is another one of those things that's bugged me for a while, but I've never actually bothered to figure out how to fix it until Micheline asked the question. So the problem is the issue is in Thunderbird, there are two different formatting options for text. One is called body text and the other one is called paragraph. So if you set the thing up if you do a message in body text, every time you hit enter, you go to a new line. But if you want a blank line between paragraphs, then you have to hit enter twice. Because by default, you get line one, line two, line three, line four, line five. And every time you hit enter, you just go to a new line. In contrast, if you have the thing in paragraph mode, then when you press enter at the end of this line, it leaves a blank line and then sets essentially a new paragraph. But you can see one of the problems is now I get nice body text set up in paragraphs, but my signature block ends up being essentially double spaced. And that was the thing that always drove me nuts, because I have to basically highlight this and change it to single space. And then I'd try and change something and it would immediately jump to a new paragraph. And then I'd be starting all over again, trying to eliminate these phantom blank lines that kept popping up. So my default is basically to turn paragraph mode off and always use body text, because I don't mind hitting two enters to get a new paragraph if that's what I want to do. So you can do that by going to the settings menu in Thunderbird, and you have to scroll down a bit, and in this HTML style section here, so you go to tools and settings and composition in the left menu here, composition, and then scroll down until you get to HTML style, and you've got this checkbox, which I think is enabled by default. So by default you get paragraph format. So if you uncheck this box, then it basically sets Thunderbird to use body text by default. So that's basically the quick and dirty. But it turns out there's a whole raft of other settings. If you look in the left-hand menu there, you can see there are general settings, composition settings, privacy and security, etc., etc. And I notice on the scroll bar here, once you pick one particular option, there are tons of options within that one category. So you have to scroll up and down to find what you want. But it turns out there's even more settings than you can shake a stick at. So if you actually go to general, you don't have to go to general. If you go into this find menu here and just type config, then it brings up this box, the search results here. It brings up this option to hit the Configuration Editor. So if you choose Configuration Editor, then you can do a Show All, and you get, as I say, more options to do things than you will ever use in a lifetime. And also, they're pretty difficult to figure out what they all do, and the thing that you want, where is it in this whole mess of options. So the trick here is to go to Google and ask it how to do what you want in Thunderbird settings, and it will probably tell you exactly which one of these you can toggle on and off by using these links over here. And if you've never used Configure Editor in Thunderbird, you may have done something similar in one of the browsers, because I've done that in Firefox, for example, and I believe Chrome does the same thing. If you search for advanced settings in these browsers, then you get a lot of different options than you would other than just the regular settings menu. So again, Google is your friend here. If you need to do something and need to customize some aspect of a program or a browser, then try to look it up in Google to see how you might find a setting that does what you want. Okay, I don't think there's anything.
Actually, before you move on, Alan, I just wonder, one of the things that bugs me about Thunderbird, and maybe you know, I have it in body text by default, but if I go in and I create bullets, after you finish the last bullet, it automatically seems to switch you to paragraph mode.
Even though you've turned it off?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, you haven't come across that one.
I don't use bullets in emails typically, so okay. I haven't come across that one.
Okay, I'll do a bit of research on that and see if I can figure out a way, maybe report next week.
Isn't that weird that you'd think that it would honor the setting that you choose?
One would think.
Like that. Okay, our next item is a share, and it's from our guru of ChatGPT this week, Bob Harris. So Bob is going to talk about how he uses ChatGPT, and he has a whole raft of interesting examples. So Bob, you're going to share your screen.
Okay, thank you, Alan. And I'll try this here now and get this correct. And not quite there yet. This should be it.
That's it.
I think we're there now.
Yes.
Okay, folks. This is ChatGPT, and essentially it's just how I use ChatGPT. I'm by no means an expert, but I'm moving along with this to do what I can while it's still free. So, do you find your searches on the internet like wading through digital sludge? Are your ads really helpful? Are your results really helpful? And do you see too many ads? Well, there is a better way. Things set up here. That's much better. There's a way to find intelligent answers and bypass all the clutter of and ads of Google. And a ChatGPT. I'm sure you've all heard of this. Now, as you people are all nerds in a computer club, you have to know what GPT stands for. Generative Pre-trained Transformer. And a bonus tip, this question is on the exam. So, how do you install, how do you set up your own account for ChatGPT? Now, ChatGPT is also called OpenAI. Those two things are synonymous. But a Google search for ChatGPT will bring you right to the first hit, and here you are. That's the website here. And on the bottom left, you'll see where it says try ChatGPT. I've never tried it. There's something up on the right. Now, do you folks see my mouse on the screen now?
Yes.
Okay, it's very small. Like anyway, you could probably type up here to log, to sign up over here too. But anyway, I use the bottom left one that worked for me, and you go from there. And then lo and behold, it's two-factor verification with your email, and you it'll text you a code to your cell phone. It's secure and simple. You'll go in there, set up your account, an 8-character password. It'll text a number to your phone, and then that is virtually it. You are in and ready to go full speed ahead and use ChatGPT. So let's get going, and we'll start right now. So we'll go to the website. You can search it again, and or you bookmark it. And for the first time, you'll have to log in. Later on, it'll remember who you are. But you log in here with your email and the password you created, and you should land right here. I call this the ChatGPT dashboard. Now, the free version of ChatGPT, though it's getting better, goes up to September 2021, about there. So it probably won't know about most current events. It's possible to get errors on ChatGPT. However, those errors, I've been on since January. Those errors are becoming very, very rare right now, and it's still free. That's why I want to do it when it's free. But anyway, on this screen here, you'll see this is where you'll enter your prompts down here. I can see my past prompts over here, and some of the past prompts I've used, I'll show you tonight. And I've created some of them just for this meeting here for you folks to show you. But anyway, the main part you'll use here is the bottom center of the screen, this little square box. And you'll enter your prompt right in here. That's the key word. It looks scary, but you talk to it like it's a person, and away you go. Now, let's start with an easy one. Now, I realize you cannot read that text at the bottom of the screen. It's very small in that prompt. So, in future parts of this slide, you'll see the actual prompts we use in red. And you'll see this a lot better, I hope. So, in this case, we're asking, what do you know about the Ottawa Peace Users Group? Pretty basic question here. We pop that in, and in seconds, here we go. Fully little article here. It's paragraph, well written. Tells you everything you want to know, even better than going to the website almost. It's very complete. Let's do one more easy one here. Please recommend 5 good books about gardening and lawn care. Pretty basic one here. We'll pop this in, and here we go. It says, certainly, here are 5 highly recommended books about gardening and lawn care. This is just the page 1 of 2. It found 5 great books, but I'm going to focus tonight primarily on the prompts that you can ask it. But if you want to look, you put your topic in, it'll search it. Now, what are some good shows on Netflix? This is my example of a very poor prompt. It's too vague. We should be adding more context, but let's go anyway. So, right away it found 5 good shows. Our prop subtly mentions at the bottom, it says these are a few standout options, but it's suggesting maybe if whether you're into science fiction, drama, crime, or fantasy, it's sort of hinting we should be giving it more context. And that's the key to using ChatGPT. You have to offer it more context. And the results will, again, return tenfold to you. So, ChatGPT offers amazing language translation. Now, here I'm going to a fine Italian restaurant. I'd like to ask an Italian, what are your 3 most popular meals? And right away, it pops up with this amazing data here. One thing here to note, you do translations by Google. I believe it translates word for word. Now, ChatGPT is totally different. It fully understands the sentences, the little tiny words we use. So in return, it'll give you natural sounding translations. Now, it's important to remember that if you're using ChatGPT, it'll always remember your last conversation. You're talking to a very smart person here, or a smart bot. So we asked about restaurants in Italian. How would I ask the same question in French? It knows what I'm talking about here. And the French response was equally accurate. But it knows I'm looking for three meals, and here we go. Moving on forward here. We want to ask about surge protectors. We could ask Bob Walker, of course. He's here tonight. But his microphone's turned off. So we'll ask ChatGPT. We had lots of context about protecting our house and how many joules do I need. And with more context, we do have a very solid answer here. Gives you a very, very good context here. Now, let's go shopping. In this case, we're going to ask for pros and cons of buying a laptop or a desktop. But you can ask for pros and cons about buying a leaf blower, you can buy a hair dryer, and get a ton of information. In this case, I'm going to ask ChatGPT. I'll call it just chat for now, it's easier to say. I'd like to buy a new computer. Please tell me the pros and cons of a laptop versus desktop computer. And in trying to offer more context, I say, are there any other factors I should be considering before I make the purchase? So here we go. And the response is amazing, impeccable timing here. Right away, certainly, here are some pros and cons about both laptop and desktop computers. And there's the laptop computer, the pros, and I'm sure there's many things in here that I would never have thought of, and the cons, the list is much longer than I'm showing you here, but it's very substantial. And here's the desktop computer, the pros, and the cons. Now, ChatGPT is just like having an extremely smart assistant at your beck and call, the one you always wanted. Well, now it's here, and it's currently totally free. It's amazing. Oh, and we asked for other factors. So here it is, other factors, intended use, your budget, future needs, the operating system preference is totally up to you. Anyway. Yes, a good prompt, the returns are phenomenal. Now, many years ago, on a different topic now, I made a stupid purchase. I bought this $80 flashlight, total battery. Anyway, a search and rescue flashlight. And recently, when a friend lost his glasses, even with fresh batteries, my super flashlight still would not work. I wasn't very pleased about this. So, we did find the glasses using another flashlight. But later, I wanted to fix my flashlight. So, I took a chance to ask ChatGPT. How do I repair? Now, I knew the model on the flashlight. How do I repair this flashlight? A Bushnell 165 HD square. And I told it, I've tested both batteries, and they're at 3.4 volts. I was pretty dismayed. I really didn't know how to fix this. Anyway, it popped back with a nice, wonderful answer in full details. Now, if your Bushnell flashlight is not turning on, all these points. Now, the one here, it says, number two, clean the battery terminals. I consider myself at least average handy. The battery terminals were perfectly clean. They did not need cleaning. But as directed, I cleaned them thoroughly, and lo and behold, it worked. Wow. Now, ChatGPT is learning, and it requires and requests your feedback. So on each of the answers you'll get, you'll see a thumbs up or thumbs down, and that will allow you to give your feedback. And this one here, I was truly excited, and I gave it good feedback. Now, I've heard many people say that ChatGPT is often too busy for them. Well, I can truly say that it's never been too busy for me. It's always had full access. Now, I give feedback, and I think it likes me. So, fixing my trailer. Quick question. What are the colors of the wires on a trailer, and what is the function of each wire? Instantly, an amazing answer. Just what I wanted. White wire is ground. Yellow is for left turn signal and brake light. Green is left turn signal and brake light. Now, I could also be more involved here and ask what a certain wire is or give it a certain problem. I'm sure it would respond equally well. And it's all still free. So now I had a problem with my washing machine. You're going to want to hear about that. So my washing machine is displaying a code, UB. Of course, nobody would guess what UB would stand for. The microphones are all off, I hope. Anyway, but I know an expert appliance technician, ChatGPT. So this is an opportunity to use chat. Here we go. I had no idea what the model number was. I didn't know where the manual was. I have a Samsung top load washing machine. Toward the end of the cycle, it displayed code UB. Do you know what this means? Lots of context here. And lo and behold, wow. Error code UB in the top load Samsung indicates an unbalanced load. Pretty obvious if you were smarter than me. But it goes on to tell me the code. And then I didn't even ask for this. It says to resolve the issue, you can try these steps. So I can pause the load and rearrange the load. And anyway, it's all good. Very good advice. There's always a disclaimer at the bottom. Says you should call for a technician if you don't solve it. But it's always great content. Now, let's try some smart consulting here. I'm sure you people are all aware of the annual pizza night, June 14th. Well, ChatGPT is extremely smart. We can ask it anything with a good question. Hypothetically, let's ask ChatGPT for suggestions about getting everyone to register early. See what it comes up with. So what could the Ottawa Peace Users Group do? It would encourage everyone to register early for pizza night at Britannia Park. I tell it that registration requires sending an email to pizzaparty@opcug and mention if you're bringing guests. I didn't mention about the vegan stuff and rides, but we gave it a fair bit of context here. And as expected, it comes back with phenomenal data here. Now, these are suggestions. These are not official policy. But it says early bird discount. We could suggest limited availability. Social media promotion, email reminders would be a good thing, it says, moving forward. These are all great ideas, but they're fictional. And I think the OPCG has already covered most of these. So bring a guest, have an easy registration. But I like number 6. It says, testimonials about previous events. You could share testimonials, etc., about the previous event. And generate enthusiasm and motivate people to register. Well, we need a testimonial. So let's ask ChatGPT for a testimonial. Here we go. Please tell me a funny story about pizza night last year. Feel free to mention that Bob brought his dog Diesel, who loves to eat pizza. Well, that's good context. What happens here? Sure. Here's a funny story about last year's pizza night. At the annual pizza night last year, Bob decided to bring his dog Diesel along for the fun. Now, Diesel was known to have an insatiable love for pizza, and it goes on and on. At the bottom, it says, in a flash, Diesel managed to free himself from the leash. He darted straight toward a nearby table loaded with mouth-watering pizzas. The attendees watched in disbelief as Diesel skillfully grabbed a slice in his mouth and devoured it in record time, all while wagging his tail with joy. Oh, now I see in the chat, Tim wants to turn this story into a song. I don't know. Is that possible? Okay, ChatGPT. All right. make this story into a funny song. Not possible, I'm sure. Well, here it is. Once upon a pizza night, a story to be told about a man named Dog and a man named Bob and a dog so bold. They arrived at the event feeling quite merry. Little did they know it'd be quite extraordinary. And there's a chorus here. Old Bob and Diesel, what a wonderful sight to see. A fun-loving duo of hilarity. It goes on and on. The 3 pages of this song. It's phenomenal. It's totally free. And it's just based on what you ask it to do. Now, I'm sure we have some Gordon Lightfoot fans here. I'm sure we do. I see a lot of hands up for that. So, let's go further. Make the words of this song sound like it was written by Gordon Lightfoot. This is the smartest assistant you ever had. When I worked, if I had a helper like this, I would have been, they wouldn't have needed me either, likely. But anyway, make the words sound like a Gordon Lightfoot song. And here it is. I'd like to thank Alan German for offering to sing this song. Okay. In the land of pizza night, a tale unfurls, but a man named Bob and a dog that twirls. They strolled into the scene, mirth in their stride, unaware of the laughter that soon would coincide. And there's a chorus. It goes on and on. And I'm a Lightfoot fan, so this is with honor and not disrespect for Gordon Lightfoot. And anyway, the power of this, you can keep asking more questions. It gets better and better and smarter and smarter. Now, I invited my girlfriend over for dinner tonight. And let's move on to this one here now. All I have in the house is chicken breasts, carrots, white rice, and a jar of green olives. Oh, my gosh. What can I make for dinner? I'm not a good cook. I don't know what to do, but... Well, let's ask ChatGPT. Once again, give it all the context. You can't add too much information. It considers everything. I invited my girlfriend over tonight, and I have to make dinner. All I have in the house is chicken breast, carrots, white rice, and green olives. What can I make? Well, herb roasted chicken. Sounds good. Here's all the ingredients I have here. Required to make it. It's got the full instructions. Preheat the oven, the baking dish. Wow. It's phenomenal. Now, if you don't like this response, you can always click on the standard regenerate response. It'll find something else. Or you can say, oh, I forgot. Make it vegan. You can make it gluten-free. Or I have no salt in the house. It'll amend the recipe. And you can go on as often as you want to until you're satisfied totally. Now, I see Stuart's here tonight. I saw Stuart on Saturday. You might remember this. I just had 4 new tires installed in my car. Then I went to visit Stuart in Shawinigan. When I arrived, Stuart said, Bob, your left front tire looks flat. We went to a garage. Keep in mind, I have brand new tires in my car, and they fixed and repaired a loose valve. Well, I wasn't impressed, but thank you, Stuart, for the garage. You got it all fixed up. So, I asked ChatGPT, please help me write a letter to Fred, the manager at Frisky Tire in Canada. I'd like to ask for a refund or a credit. I had 4 new Bridge Rock tires installed on my Honda CRV. I paid $925. Went to visit Stuart. I got there, the flat tire. Stuart took me to Grage Levesque in Shawinigan. They fixed a loose valve, and I paid them $125. Please be nice. My name is Bob Harris. That's just all I know, and I threw that into ChatGPT. Can it handle it? Well, you bet it can. A letter, a correspondence letter. Request for a refund. Recent tire purchase. Dear Mister, and it says, I put a name in there. Hope this letter finds you well. And it goes on in a nice, wonderful letter. I'm asking my recent experience at Frisky Tire Center in Canada. I paid $125 and counted an unexpected issue after leaving your shop. the bottom paragraph, I must express my disappointment and concern with the situation. As a loyal customer of Frisky Tire, I've always trusted your experience and the highest level of quality services, etc. Next page of the letter, given the circumstances, I'd like to request a refund or a credit of $125. I've attached copies of the receipts from Frisky Tire and Garage Levesque and ask you to review them. I could not have written a letter like this if I had tried. Put my name on it. I can adjust a couple of things if I wanted to. Now I can just copy and paste this letter into an email, or I could deliver it myself. Anyway, you'd like this. So correspondence letter, any letter you want to make, any email you want to create, throw it into ChatGPT. It'll come back. You just give it the feedback you want. You want to be funny. You want to be professional. On and on. It's fantastic. So now I'm going to show you all how to save money. I'm going to start my own garden. Nothing to it. With the cost now of groceries, this is the way to go. So I bought a raised garden planter, Canadian Tire. It's a big one. It's a monster. And I found some black earth from Home Depot. A 28.3 liter bag for only $3.48. This is great stuff. I've got a problem now. How many bags do I need for this massive garden planter? What can I do? I could ask Stuart, but I don't think he'd know. Here we go. Let's ask ChatGPT. So I tell it all the facts. I'm starting a raised garden bed to plant vegetables and save money. My garden bed size is whatever. I got to buy the bags from Home. I didn't say Home Depot. 28.3 liter bags for $3.48. How many bags should I buy? Everything's there. Here we go. Right away, it calculates all the data. It converts the dimensions of the garden bed into a consistent unit. On and on. Converts the bags. Anyway, on and on. And it says 66.85 bags, so I'm going to go with 67 bags. I could never have done that fast. It's great. Then I wondered, I had one more question. My gosh. I have a follow-up question. How much will this cost? Well, there you go. It knew the topic, and it plugged in. We got 67 bags. Bob, it'll cost you $233.16. Perfect. Well, one more question. Can you offer me any advice or tips about starting a raised garden, a vegetable garden? Well, location, bed construction, soil preparation, on, and 10 great tips, all very solid stuff. Very impressive. Going forward, I want to thank Tom Trotsch. I'm not sure he's here tonight. In January, on the forum, Tom Trotsch posted his ChatGPT request. Write a limerick using only words with more than three syllables. And he showed his response to ChatGPT gave him. It gave a phenomenal little poem here. I was truly impressed by this. That's what got me going at ChatGPT, I believe. Anyways, very impressive. And he had one more that he shared in the same email. Thank you, Tom, for this. He says, write a poem in botanical terms praising all the aspects of a rose. Roses are roses so beautiful and fair, with petals so soft and a fragrance to share. On and on. Well, ChatGPT can write amazing poems. Give it the few keywords you want. You can say Alan German or Chris Taylor in there, and Alan loves meat seams, and Chris goes to Cape Breton. It'll make the poem you want very personal. On and on. So anyway, I've always made my own greeting cards for many years now. I've used various inkjet printers using cardstock. But by coincidence, as soon as I started using ChatGPT, all my words danced in the symphonies of rhyme, and my words flowed seamlessly. It's like the entire universe conspired to give me superhuman poetry skills. I turned into the smartest person you ever saw. Amazing. Now, as you can imagine, the demand for my cards went totally crazy. Sadly, the consequences of my newfound poetic dominance became too apparent. Rumors now swirl that Hallmark Cards, a once industry giant, now quivers in financial distress. I'm sorry, Hallmark. It seems the world has found a new poetic messiah. It's time for me to call ChatGPT. I need a sales page for Bob's greeting cards. Give it a few facts here. Bob's greeting cards. Now, sales pages for ChatGPT are nothing. Here we go. And right away it pumped out. Introducing Bob's greeting cards, where imagination meets poetic brilliance. You tired of ordinary greeting cards like a special touch? Look no further. Bob's greeting cards is here to transform your card-giving experience into a symphony of printed rhyme and seamless verses for Mother's Day, etc., etc., etc. Located in Stittsville conveniently, Bob's greeting cards is your local oasis of artistic expression. I wrote it myself, you can tell. Anyway, ChatGPT can make a sales page for you also and do many, many more things. Enjoy it. Try it. It's fun. It's free. It'll do anything you ask and beyond. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. That was wonderful. I was sure Bob was never going to get through all those slides tonight, but quite amazing that he did. Okay, so there was a question earlier on. I need to find it. It was basically the effect that you're giving ChatGPT all this information. What's it learning about you?
That's true. I'm on the internet anyway. I'm on the internet searching Google. If I search for a website on a chainsaw, I see chainsaw ads. I'm on the internet anyway. I don't think it's a big deal. Really, I don't. Facebook finds these things if you want to. It's all out there anyway. It has my email address, but I'm not worried about that personally. The benefits for me are phenomenal. Anyway, I enjoy the benefits. And it's still free now too, of course.
And Corinne commented on your recipe. She thought the olives were supposed to be for the martinis.
Just my microphone higher here. I can't hear the volume's a little quiet here. Bring a little sound a little higher. Sorry, I couldn't hear you, Alan. I'm sorry.
Corinne was complaining about your chicken recipe. She thought the olives were for the martinis.
Okay, yes, that'd be good for that, yes.
Bob, in all your experience so far with ChatGPT, have you ever noted it to be just dead wrong?
No. Now, I must say, and back to your stuff with privacy, I don't give it a whole lot of real personal text. I mean, the tire issue was fictional, but I don't give it a whole lot of... So the things you ask for, a song or a birthday card, my washing machine is a true one, my flashlight. If anybody finds that, I don't think it... I mean, I'm an idiot for buying the flashlight, but there's nothing really... my bank information isn't on there. I don't think it's that... I don't see it as an issue, what I post on there. I can show you my screen if you want to see it.
Elizabeth says that... ChatGPT can't look up the best prices for grocery items or online reviews for companies. It doesn't have access to the internet for real-time information, apparently. Now, presumably part of that is this limitation of the database only going to 2021.
Exactly. This is currently a free version. I'm not paying for it. It's getting much smarter. I think those dates are creeping forward. It's likely inevitable that I will be paying for it. And I can ask it right now. Can you compare grocery, I type terribly, prices, and a question mark. There. This is a pretty, and right away it pops up right now. So I don't have access to current stuff, September 2021. So it's that quick in here. I can ask it though here. How can I save money on groceries? There we go. Saving money, you can create on a budget, set a budget, on and on. Buying in bulk. So there's a lot of stuff on here that's not current, but you could ask it more in-depth stuff, how to water your lawn, how to train your dog. I mean, how to do stuff on PowerPoint. Are there any things I would want me to put in here, make any requests?
And just ask it if it can find a review for Food Basics.
Okay. A store, right?
Yeah, it's a grocery store.
Food Basics. Can you find a review for Food Basics grocery store? And any context, Carrie Allen, they put in here? Or?
No, I just want to see if you can find reviews for a company.
No, it does not. I'm sorry. However, if you want to find Food Basic by conducting, oh wait, there's more. How do I scroll up here now? There it goes.
Website.
Online search. That one's not a good hit. I'm sorry. Now, currently, it's 2021. This is going to change. It'll be very current, and it might cost more money, but hopefully, no luck there.
Stuart wants to know about price trends for groceries over the past 5 years.
Can you give me history on grocery prices for the last 5 years? I put before 2021. Okay, because that's where it's going to be. Right now, that's the deadline I know of. It's stopping at. Give me history on prices for the last 5 years before 2021. Well, we bombed out again. No, I'm sorry, Stuart. We don't have that one either.
Interesting, isn't it?
And
US says Galen blocked us.
Anyway, there's really a ton of stuff you can ask in there, and it does answer a whole lot of. Here, I had my neighbor worked on his car, and he pulled the heat shield off. I would have seen his laneway. I did this on my cell phone. He asked me a silly question. My 2007 Kia Spectra lost a heat shield located in the rear near the gas tank. He asked me, is this important? Well, I tried to ask on my phone, ChatGPT, and it gave me a full response here. The heat shield is, very detailed stuff here. in my past history there. But anyway, here, Chris is in Cape Breton now. What are the best sites to see in Cape? I typed terribly, I'm sorry. Cape Breton, oh my gosh. That's why we had the slides roll. I like waterfalls. So what are the best sites to see in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, comma, I like waterfalls. Cape Breton is known for its stunning natural beauty. And here we go. It's going on for a whole lot of stuff here. The Marianne Falls. Chris, take notes here. Anyway, and enjoy the natural. So going back further, the Usage Basin Band Falls in the Provincial Park, the Egypt Falls, McIntosh Brook Falls, Fairy Hole Falls, and do you know any good restaurants? Now, I'm not going to tell it. It should know we're talking about Cape Breton. I spelled restaurants wrong. I'm sure I did. Well, I sure did. Restaurants. I can't. Restaurants. That's close enough. It'll guess that. Certainly, Cape Breton offers a delightful restaurants. Flavor on the Water in Sydney. Lobster by the pound and on and on and on. And the Dancing Goat Bakery. The Bite House. And these things change over time. So on and on.
Those restaurants are near waterfalls.
Pardon me?
I wonder if any of those restaurants are near waterfalls.
Okay. What are near waterfalls? What restaurants are near waterfalls? Well, Tom's Pizza to Chris, and we got, no, there's a, let's say, they're not directly against distance to the waterfalls. There are several in the proximity to areas waterfalls are located. So they're not right, but they're in the proximity. And the deck area, we have the Band Falls, we have the Indian Brook area, Egypt Falls, the Dancing Goat, Indian, exactly as you wanted. There's a very definitive list. So you find the falls, Chris, and you'll be well fed.
So Mies was asking how these chatbots are going to impact Google and other similar search engines.
Well, I really don't know, but I don't see any ads, if you've noticed. There's no ads right now. That might change one day, but right now the content is, it's phenomenal, the content. I mean, and
lots of people are bringing out chatbots.
I can't see the chat right now myself here, but my little box is a little tight. But anyway, that's thank you all for enduring my stuff here.
Okay, thanks very much again, Bob. It's really good.
Thank you all.
So at the magic hour, actually, right on 8:30, Miz was asking who owns ChatGPT and are there other companies that might take over a leadership position. Bob mentioned ChatGPT is developed by a company called OpenAI, and Chris just mentioned Google's got Bard, Microsoft's got Copilot, and I don't know what the Amazon one's called, but I'm sure there is one. I think all of these guys are going to have their own competing chatbots, and we'll see what shakes out and what comes to the top, I guess. Okay. Well, we're at the magic witching hour, so people have asked various questions, so we'll skip right into the wrap-up. And Bob mentioned what can we do to encourage people to register for Pizza Q, our pizza party this year, on June the 14th. If you're a member, you have to register and send us an email to pizzaparty@opcug.ca. Details are on the website, so tell us how many guests, if you have any special requirements like vegan pizzas and so on. And we hope to see as many of you as possible. In the meantime, we have another Q&A next week, May the 31st. Right now, the slate is clean. Bob has got through all his slides. So if you have questions or if you've got topics that you'd like to share, very much like Bob has done tonight with the chatbot, send us some details and we'll reserve you a spot. Okay, so that's it for me, and I think Chris is way past your bedtime on the East Coast, so I'll call it a night. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
So lots of kudos in the chat, Bob. Everybody really liked your presentation.
Thank you, folks. I enjoyed it, too. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, very entertaining.
I've been trying to use it while it's still free, when, like, just for using it for silly things to get sort of practice at it. And
it's
cool.
My sense is that there has been some press talk about it, just basically making up stuff periodically. That's why I wonder how frequently it gets things wrong. But I think and one of the comments in the chat was saying that it's great for giving you information that you can then validate yourself. So it may find some stuff that you were not aware of. And so, but you would be wise for you to actually go and validate the information that ChatGPT gives you, because it may not be right. So that idea of the error code on your washing machine might not be a bad idea to verify that, you know, somewhere else if you could.
Yeah. I have a neighbor, actually.
Interesting technology, for sure.
This, I have a neighbor that had an aluminum slip rail fence installed, and she wants someone to cut the posts off the fence. She had a problem with her installer. So anyway, I asked this to ChatGPT how it would do it. And it mentions getting a little jig and setting that up and using an appropriate aluminum blade for my circular saw. And I don't have to follow that, but it's like talking to an experienced carpenter and getting an opinion. And I decide in the end. So there's no wrong answer, but it gives me things to weigh with a jig to cut straight and detailed answer beyond what you'd want. So right or wrong, it's my call at the end.
And the other thing about it is it's the same as looking something up on Google or any search engine. You still have to take it on trust, or at least be cautious about what you do with the advice you get. It may or may not be correct.
Yep.
Another thing I've heard, too, is that it's computationally very, very expensive, search engine. And so it'd be interesting if that's true. You know, how do companies monetize this? And so, you know, is advertising going to be enough to pay for this computationally expensive processing? And DALL-E is another one too, where it's drawing things for you, you know, on demand. And so it's very computationally expensive. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out over time, whether anybody can make money out of it.
But the price is falling down very, very, very quickly. They use some of those artificial intelligence to generate other artificial intelligence. And there is some group that were able to generate one of those things, something like at least 50% as good as ChatGPT for something like $300. So this has opened the floodgate in research and development, and I think we're just beginning to see the evolution of that thing, both in price and in quality.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think the other thing that's going to happen is these things will get very purpose-built, too. I mean, you don't need an all-singing, all-dancing search engine-type bot if all you want to do is program in Python. So you could develop a Python bot that would tell you how to code and do all the optimization and the corrections and bug finding and all that kind of stuff, and have a much less computer-intensive requirement.
I think a big bottleneck at the moment is the information the engine is getting. It's limited to a certain time point, and it's guessing from that roadblock in its in what it's got able to access to the current moment. So a real expense will be. Will be giving it access to right up to the date information about whatever's going on. And that will be another
As time goes on, computer power will get cheaper, and you know, you can see how these things will get extended very, very rapidly probably.
Yeah.
But also one of the thing is that they try to minimize the workload, and as they improve the models, they get better and better at getting smaller and more efficient. So the cost is definitely dropping. One of the artificial intelligence is in self-driving, like Tesla. There are specialized hardware and specialized softwares, and the two will push down the quality and the price.
Okay, folks. Well, seeing as I control this and it's past my bedtime, I end the session now. We'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for showing up.
Bye, everyone.